Last but not least, I finally start to speak about analytic geometry, real analytic geometry. So, what are the main objects? So, start with semi-analytic sets. So, we let M be a real analytic manifold, or if you prefer, we may suppose that M is open in some RM. Okay. We say that the subset E A in in M is semi-analytic at a point of M, if and only if there exists a neighborhood of A, and there are analytic functions F I j on this neighborhood, such that a portion of A in U is a union of A I j, which is finite, and all these sets are of the three following types. We have equality or strict inequality bigger than zero or smaller than zero. Okay. So, and we will say that these functions which are analytic and intersections, yes. So this is a union of intersections of data. Okay, thank you. Yes. So we say that these functions, analytic, they describe our A in U. And now we say simply that A is semi-analytic. In M, if and only if A is semi-analytic at every point of M. Okay. So not only at the point of the set itself, but also at the point somehow. Or maybe I should add it. In particular, at point of the closure. So these are semi-analytic sets, and now, well, analytic, F is analytic. A is analytic. In the if and only if we have only this inequalities, but of course, so if and only if there is a neighborhood of A and one analytic function such that A in U is just zero of this function. Because, of course, in the real case, we can we can reduce this intersection, because intersection, when we have intersection of zero sets of several of finitely many analytic functions, or we can replace this function by sum of squares, and we have description of the intersection. So the first remark you probably have seen already in the lectures on model theory is that the family of semi-analytic sets in a given manifold is closed under Boolean operation, so under complement and union and intersection. This should be taken locally finite. So this is an immediately from the definition. See, so maybe I will give you this example, which was mentioned by Sergei Yagovgenko, of a subset which is not semi-analytic. So let us take, for instance, the graph of the function, say y equal x sinus 1 over x, say for x from 0, say p so over 2. So now you know how it looks like. So it has an infinite oscillation around the, on the, in this vertical direction, and you may easily see that this is not semi-analytic at the origin. And why? Because when we intersect this set with the line, this line R times 0, so this is a semi-analytic set in R2. Okay? So if we assume that A is semi-analytic, so this intersection should be semi-analytic as well. But which are the semi-analytic sets in R? So semi-analytic sets in R are locally finite union of points and intervals. Okay, so this also you can check using the fact that the zeros of a real analytic function they cannot accumulate. So you can in a compact interval, you have always finitely many zeros, or always the function vanishes. Okay, maybe another example, which is more delicate. Say, let us take the graph of the function x power lambda, say for x positive, and with lambda positive, but not rational. Irrational. So you have seen already such as an example. So this is not semi-analytic at the origin. Of course, you cannot see it in the same way, because there is no oscillation, and if you cut it with any semi-analytic set, you will find finitely many connected components always. So why it is not So perhaps the students will answer. This is a consequence of Pizet. So these were just examples to give you some idea what they look like. And after, it will be unfortunately more technical, this talk. So just to finish with notations, I will define the dimension of a semi-analytic set, say in R-end, just to simplify things. So dimension, what is dimension? Dimension is we can define dimension at point, but here let's say I will define it this way. So it is maximum of dimension of gamma, where gamma is a subset of A, and gamma is an analytic submanifold. Well, you may say analytic, but in fact you may take also C1 submanifold. So this will be the notion of the dimension of a semi-analytic set. And you see easily that if you have a union of a finite union of analytic sets, from this definition it's clear. That this will be a maximum of dimensions of this AI. Okay, so these are more or less trivial facts. And now we shall start the local description of semi-analytic set. Because, for instance, in this definition appears this analytic submanifold. So you may ask if there are any in general, except the points. For some points, you may also assume that they have a point. So first I will define a notion of a stratification. So in the semi-analytic context. So let G be open in Rn. Semi-analytic stratification of G is a locally finite partition which I will denote, say, for instance, T into semi-analytic leaves. So that is connected analytic submanifolds. Which has the following property. So-called boundary property. So if we take an element of this partition, so we may take what is, I will denote the boundary in G. So what is this boundary? This boundary gamma is by the definition the closure in G except G. So this will be the boundary. So what we ask? We ask the following, that this set is a union of other elements of our of some other elements of our partition. So how should the lambda j which is locally finite, these are the elements of our partition, and what is important that the dimension of this lambda is strictly smaller than the dimension of our gamma. Okay. So there is no phenomenon like the accumulation of a curve on the other curve. For instance, when you think about sinus 1 over x, so you see that the closure of this sinus 1 over x will contain the boundary, will contain this vertical, segment, which will be of the same dimension. So this is excluded. Somehow, this is in fact definition of a general definition of stratification. So it means that instead of taking semi-analytic, this you may take just connected C-infinity sub-manifolds or any analytic or other CK sub-manifolds, but without condition of sub-analytic. In fact, you will see later that this condition is superfluous somehow. But for the formalism of the exposition, we should recall it. Now, assume that we are given a some finite, locally finite or I say aggregate have taken just simply finite. Okay. So this is a locally finite family of semi-analytics. So we'll say that a stratification compatible with this family. If and only if there are two possibilities. Either if we take one element of this partition and we choose one of those sets, so we choose in fact J, yeah, say. Then we have if the intersection is non-empty, perhaps I should give it non-empty, then in fact gamma must be included in J. So otherwise they are the pieces which fit to this family. So either they are disjoint or they are included. So this is the sense of saying that this is compatible with a given family. Locally finite. Okay. So now I shall start the definition of this distinguished stratification. So we will make it in a box. So we say that Q, which is kind of polydisk, but in the real case, and say that xi more than ri, or delta, maybe delta. because we have this box around the origin, what will be the this will be our open set. So what will be the distinguished stratification of this box? We define by induction on n, it is the dimension, distinguished stratification as follows. So the case of n equal 1, of course, is as usual trivial. But so in n equal 1 is the stratification is just consists of two segments and a point, the origin. So this is trivial. Now, so we make this induction now. So we shall assume that we know what is the stratification of a cube of a smaller number, smaller cube. So so we take n. So distinguished stratification of this cube Q is such a partition of such a stratification that this condition B. There is a distinguished stratification of the cube Q prime, which will be in R minus 1. So here such that if a gamma distinguished stratification, maybe I should go to C. I will call this C, the stratification. So if gamma is in C, then gamma is actually a graph, so I will write like that. It's a graph of a function defined on some element of the stratification C prime. So there is a distinguished stratification C prime. Then it's a graph of an analytic function. So this is, of course, in the case when we have this stratum of dimension less than n. So what I want to say that all strata of dimension which are not open are the graphs of the of analytic functions. Because this stratification somehow is not a cellular decomposition. It's not a cell decomposition. This is somehow weaker. Okay? And this is for some gamma prime, which is element in this C prime. So this is one part of the definition, this B. And now we have a kind of description, analytic description. So this analytic description will be a distinguished polynomial. So C, there is a P, x prime is n equal x n k plus alpha a nu x prime x n power k minus 3 a nu Weierstrass polynomial or distinguished polynomial with this coefficient analytic, say, analytic in this cube or box in the neighborhood. And what is the relation between this distinguished polynomial and our certification? So we denote by V the union of the strata gamma such that gamma is an element of our C and dimension is less than n. Okay. So the condition we want to impose is that F is zero on V. Okay. And the second part, the second condition is the following. That for given gamma, for fixed gamma, for gamma, our certification, that exists R, an integer which depends on this gamma, such that if x equals x prime xn is a point at gamma, then the polynomial xi prime x, this polynomial has a root of order of multiplicity R at that point, at xi equals xn. Okay, so somehow they correspond to the roots of the fixed multiplicity. So this is this condition. And in fact, you may check that this condition C, in fact, applies that V must be equal to the to the zeros. So union of strata of smaller dimension are the zeros of this distinguished polynomial. And I would like just as a notation, a piece of notation, to define the following. So by P gamma, I will take simply this this partial derivative of order R minus 1 of P of okay. So this function. So this is kind of equation. It's a better equation for gamma. Because you know, gamma, the P may have roots of order bigger than one. But when but since they are of the fixed order, so in fact we can in the description also take this this polynomial. Okay. So now, what can be said about this stratifications? So perhaps I should go away. I don't know. Oh my. So what I'm going to explain now is how this formal definition can be somehow simplified, and which are really the necessary conditions. Because our goal will be to show that for finite or locally finite family of semi-analytic sets, we can find a distinguished stratification compatible with this family. So this is, of course, our goal. So some observation about this definition. First is that that the B and C, they imply that zero is in the closure of any stratum. Stratification. So the all the strata they can you can go to zero along the all the strata. And now there is a comes proposition which somehow simplifies this this definition. This proposition is that condition B and this strange and almost trivial observation that all strata they have origin in the closure, they implied. So I want to say in the following way. If I have a stratification, which is maybe better say like that. If I have a stratification, satisfies this B and this condition star, then condition A, this boundary condition, is equivalent to the condition that V is closed. But we know that this V is actually the zero set of this distinguished polynomial. So in fact, so what is the conclusion? That we don't need to check this the boundary condition. So this is quite technical, and I am not going to explain. So please look on the in this paper where it is written. So Moisevich, Zurwo, which is manuscripta. I think. Volume 86. So there is delicate work somehow. Okay. So before stating and proving this, giving idea of the proof of this theorem about the existence of distinguished stratification, let me maybe, because I hope that you remember this condition, make a following remark. So if we take gamma element of our stratification, say of dimension L less than M, then we can project it to so we have gamma equals gamma N. Then when we project it down on the first along first the last variable, we obtain gamma n minus 1 until we obtain open subset in RL. Dimension or co-dimension? So here I should go to gamma L. So gamma, each of these gamma is in, hello, this is, I can produce like that. And now I can take, so this is in Rn. This is R n minus 1. And this will be in RR. Okay. So for each of the stratum, so each of the stratum, we may associate this this polynomial. And we'll have the following fact, that our gamma is described locally in its neighborhood by the zeros of this derivatives of the polynomial associated to each stratification. And what is the advantage of this writing is that now when we look on this stratum, then we can say that gamma is a graph of an analytic map. So here I should put R and minus mapping, and in fact this description is a submersion in the neighborhood of gamma. Right, so you may consider a map F big F, which is components are this But you should, because each of these, so of course this is, this matrix is in all variables, n variables. But this, the next one is the n minus 1 variables, etc. But we can consider that this is maps, this maps are on the, defined on Rn, just independent of the missing variables. So in the name, so L is a submersion in a neighborhood of gamma. So what we have in this way, so we can say that we can control by these polynomials p gamma n or the tangent to our stratum gamma. Tangent spaces to gamma with this function. We have a good description. Because as why it is so? Why it is submersion? Because you know in this vertical direction, all of this map is of order one. Because we have chosen the, we have taken exactly this derivative. That when we derivate in the direction of xn, this this polynomial will be non-zero. This was chosen. So you will obtain triangular matrix, and on the diagonal you will have a derivative of order r. Now I will state this theorem about existence of distinguished stratification, which is compatible with a given family. So theorem. Given let E1 to be something Q be semi-analytic set in a neighborhood of zero in R. Then, after a linear change of variable, which can be chosen also. In fact, orthogonal, but we can find a distinguished stratification stratification of a cube. That means we should choose a cube included in let's say cube, but not precise, which is compatible with our family E1. And what are the consequences? Perhaps I will write here immediately the consequences before going further of this theorem. The first consequence, so let's say this is theorem one. Theorem two, if E is semi-analytic then the closure also is semianaltic. And the dimension of the closure minus E is smaller than dimension of E. So perhaps you may say, well, it seems more or less obvious that it is so. Because when you think about the definition of analytic sets, semianaltic sets, you have inequalities, strict inequalities, and equalities. So you may say you just relax inequalities and it's okay, but it's not the case, because when you relax inequalities, you add some parasite parts. So this is the way to. So there is this is somehow non-trivial factor, and the second non-trivial factor is that connected components, so if E is semianaltic and say F connected component of E, then this connected component is again semianaltic. So this also is not seems to be not surprising. Problem in that in the big part of real analytic geometry you don't have many surprising results, but sometimes you have, it's difficult to prove these obvious results. Okay, and somehow the notion of the connected component or description of connected component in the real case is the main issue and main difficulty. It is also in the real algebraic or the real analytic case. So these are the consequences. Okay, so let me say some words about what are the main ingredients of the proof. So first remark is first tool is which I call Wojaszewicz's lemma, because I think according to Lauchy you learned this from Wojaszewicz in Kingston in 80s, yes? I have seen statements like that. So this was also the main tool in the proof of Tarski theorem. So this way, Wojaszewicz lemma states the following. So suppose that lambda is a connected analytic manifold, and we have some numbers of function which will become coefficients of a polynomial analytic. So we can consider this again, this type of polynomial. And we assume that for that exists R, an integer such that x for any u in lambda, this map, this polynomial, has exactly R complex root. Mm. So you see, that's why I was talking so much about this discriminance, etc. And what is the conclusion, Isa? What is the conclusion? Conclusion is, hence, then there exist functions xi1 to xi, not necessarily say s. Perhaps that this family may be also empty. This is possible. So these are analytic functions. So that the zeros of P are exactly the graphs of this analytic function. Okay, so this is somehow the main tool. So proof. First of all, let us observe that the number of real roots cannot change. It's constant. So why it is so? Because if one real root becomes complex, then in fact it produces two. They produce a pair of conjugated points. So this will change the number of the complex roots. And now, so in fact, we can choose somehow continuously this function. So from this follows that we can choose them continuously. From because they are finitely many. And the difference between real and complex cases, the crucial difference is that we can order them. So for instance, here we can take them in some order. Okay. In complex, we cannot. So then we can choose them in the continuous way. And now you may check that the multiplicity of each root is constant in the neighborhood. So you may apply implicit function theorem, but for this type of function. So you should take enough derivatives to in order to be able to apply implicit function theorem. Okay. So that's why they become analytic. And this resembles very much to this cell, the compositions, okay? Because now, when we are over this lambda, and you have vertical, this R, and you take a subset which is defined by inequalities involving P, so this is either one of these xi. Or maybe several also, because a priori it's possible to have a several. So it may happen that when you look on this set, so of course this will be several, so there is no. So, but now what we want to do, we want to separate, we want to describe each of these xi by equation. And this is now Thom's lemma. So Thom's lemma is very, very simple observation, which is somehow crucial in this construction. So what does it say? So Thom's lemma. We take a polynomial, say, in one variable, again, real coefficient, variable key, say degree k, we fix tau, which is a sequence of signs. So tau, I don't know how it goes. Tau k minus minus one. Okay. So each of these tau is just a symbol bigger or equal or less. And now we consider the set, so delta tau, which is the intersection of the set defined by the points. We have to take a derivative of P and order I, and we put this sign. So the claim is that this is a connected set. Okay. It means that when we add to our polynomial P all derivatives, then these conjunctions of the sign, of the signs may give only connected set. Maybe empty, of course. Possibly empty. Okay. Yes, so now just to the last remark is how we proceed. So we are given the semi-analytic sets. So for to prove, maybe it's not a proof, but idea of the proof. We have we can list all these functions involved our sets. Analytic functions. Now we can choose last variable xn in such a way that they are regular in this in the xn direction. So we can replace them by associated Weierstrass polynomials, which I will denote by R1. RS. Associated Weierstrass polynomials. So they will describe the same in the same set, of course. And what will be this P, this polynomial, which is crucial in distinguished stratification? So P is defined as a product. So R is a product of all this polynomials. And P is a product of R times derivative to x n until we have something non-zero. So k is degree. And of course, then we will have some kind of, will not be monic. The dominant exponent will be not monic. So I should put here 1 over c. Where c is a constant which normalizes. So this is this polynomial is the definition distinguished stratification. And just to finish, what what is the main of the strategy somehow?
Strategy is that now we take semi-analytic sets which are described in the following way. So AS, maybe A L are the subsets in R minus 1 such that this map X and has L complex roots. So we know how to describe this this set thanks to this this generalized discriminant. We have some explicit description of this set. And take distinguished stratification of Rn minus 1, or maybe Q prime, which is Rn minus 1, compatible with this family. And now, in fact, from all what I said before, follows that over each stratum when we take a stratum here in R minus 1, okay, this stratum, then it follows that thanks to Łasiewicz to lemma that over the stratum we will have also graph of functions. And this will become a strata of our stratification. Well, this is said in a very quick way, but there is some work to be done, non-trivial to be done. Okay, so this is what I wanted presented. So the last talk, I would like to use this distinguished stratification to obtain the Łasiewicz inequality, in particular that the image of one-dimensional semi-analytic set is a semi-analytic set, which was the somehow the most important and surprising also in this story. For instance, well, I might say that since the paper was written, somehow I didn't work on it. So maybe 12 years already or 13. But this is different from cell decomposition somehow, because the strata are not necessarily the cells. For instance, you may have that decomposition in R2, that you have these two, say, some number of this one-dimensional strata, or let's say like that. But the open strata, they are not, they do not project on the strata, because you see here the stratification are just intervals and the point. So, well, I don't know if it is interesting or possible to how to refine this this stratification to a cell decomposition. Of course, now you must be very efficient, and nowadays this was done in 90s, but in fact this was some kind of improvement of this normal stratification done by Łasiewicz in 60s. So now the question about complexity of algorithm of construction. So this has a very bad complexity, of course, because you see we do where I have written this So here, you take a product, and the product, so it explodes degree, so, of course. I don't know if there is a smarter way to do it, somehow following this this idea. It's not clear for me. Conceptually, it is relatively simple. Okay, so I think I stop. Oh, so already I took the part of Jakubienko.